Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Ezra. So Ezra, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. My name is Ezra Kunze. I am based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas, and I own and operate a pediatric home healthcare company.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this business?
So it's kind of a long story. I'll take you back to the very beginning, really. In 2006, I was in college. And at the time, my plans were to go to law school. I actually did end up going to law school and practiced law actively for about 6 years. But kind of circling back in 2006, my older brother and his wife were pregnant with their very first child. And when he was born, he went without oxygen for an extended period of time. And as a result of that, he has severe brain damage. And so back then, pediatric home health was a very new industry. And so initially they discharged from the hospital and they actually live in Pennsylvania. So this was at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, which is a very big and good hospital in Philadelphia. But what happened was they discharged and went back home, and there were some issues with ongoing care. He was fed through a G button because he couldn't swallow at all. And so ultimately, I think it was probably about a year later when they were introduced to pediatric home health. And so what that entails is they would have nurses coming in and out of their house for shift work. So essentially, they would have nurses there for anywhere from 8 to 12 hour shifts, and they were authorized to have just about 24/7 care for him. And so this was then, I guess, about 2007, 2008. And I was in Texas at the time in college and would go back and would visit them. And really, I felt like there was always things that they struggled with the nursing care. And at one point, it was something that had crossed. Really, it was my younger brother. He was in business school at the time. And he said, hey, we could start a pediatric home healthcare company. And really, we didn't know anything about the industry. I think in my mind, I thought, hey, this is going to be something that it's not that complicated. You hire nurses, you put them in homes, and it's as easy as that. And it's not quite that simple, but kind of moving along in the story, I got married and my wife is a registered nurse. When we finished up law school, she finished getting her master's degree in nursing leadership and education. And she had worked primarily in a cardiac cath lab in a hospital setting. And that was her experience. And when we moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, she jumped in and decided to work at a pediatric home health care company just to get some experience. And so about a year into that, we had our first kid and decided that we would take some time to get everything set up and structured so that we could jump into this. And so that was about towards the end of 2012. And so it took us, because again, this is a industry that is regulated by the state. You also have to have Medicaid certification, and different states have different rules, different payer sources, all that kind of stuff. So really put in some groundwork on it and jumped in 2014, actively taking patients. And so in 2014, really, again, very little experience. I had no experience in this industry. My wife had very little experience. I think we were trying to kind of figure out things as we went. And also jumping into a business where we didn't have a lot of cash flow initially. So you're hiring nurses, trying to figure out how to bill out services. And there was definitely a learning curve. And I think the first few years it was a good learning curve for us. And in 2018, kind of at a crossroads where I needed to decide between continuing with practicing law or with the pediatric home healthcare company. Did we want to sell it? Did we want to try to take it next level? And I decided to jump out of practicing law and focus full time on the home healthcare company. So that's kind of short version of the last really 10 years. And it's been a good run. I think the last 5 years we've experienced substantial growth. We've had a lot of good people join our team and provide services really all across the state of Texas now.
Awesome. So obviously it's a very competitive space. What would you say makes you more unique or even better than your competition?
So I think it goes back to this. Really, the business is all about, and I think that we've realized that the culture that we create and the culture, I think a lot of companies will talk about culture. They'll talk about core values, things like that. But really, it comes down to how you interact with people day in and day out. And that's something that we're big on with our team. That's something that really is easier said than done, though, too. And I think that we've tried to be intentional with our culture and really just connect with people on a personal level, whether it's clinicians or whether it's families. And I think that our team has done a good job of that. It's something that we, every single day, we focus on that aspect of it. And we work hard to make sure that we've got the right team in place. And I think that we've been fortunate enough to pull in some very strong leaders who have the same mindset and have been able to help us carry out that culture. So that's a big part of it. The other thing that I think gives us a competitive advantage is I do think that we do a good job with creativity. Right now in Texas, there's a nursing shortage. And so everyone has more authorized hours than they can staff. And so we're all trying to onboard nurses. We could really hire 100 nurses today and put them to work tomorrow. And so that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of the demand that's out there. And I think that we've tried to be creative in our staffing and recruiting approach. And I think we've had some level of success with that. So that's a big part of it too.
Makes sense. So do you hire travel nurses, like on assignments for temporary staffing, or is everybody that's working with you full time?
So we don't hire travel nurses, but what we do is we do have nurses that are part-time, nurses that are PRN. So they might be not open to working regular shifts, but they're on a list that we can call when we're trying to fill shifts. Some of the challenges that we face is a large part, I would say probably 97-98% of our reimbursement is through Medicaid payer sources. And how that is set up is the state sets what our reimbursement rates are. And so in order to make the numbers work, we have to be very careful as to what we're offering nurses. And I think that that's been a little bit of a challenge. So we're always trying to figure out different ways to pull in nurses while still maintaining the margins that we need to continue to keep our business healthy. And so that's where we've looked at different travel options. And a lot of times those travel nurses, if they're coming in from another location, they're just at a higher rate than really our reimbursement. But I think we've done a good job of being creative with the numbers that we're given and onboarding nurses and figuring out ways to keep nurses in homes. And I think when you look at it, really, it's a very different industry than, say, working in a clinic or in a hospital or in a nursing home setting. And that's one of the things that we try to help nurses understand. And I do think we've got just a ton of great families that we work with.
Awesome. So what would you say the role of technology is in your business?
So technology plays a big part of our business, in our business. And really, that's something that we have focused on in the past 2 years. We've made some major system changes. And really what we're working to do is trying to make sure that I think what happens is as a smaller company, you see a need, you add a system, then you see another need, you add another system. And all of a sudden you've got 20 different systems doing all these different things and it can be a challenge. So we focused on consolidating systems. And I'll give you an example. So with our EMR, that is where our clinicians will do all of their documentation. That is where they clock in and out. It's tied to billing. It's tied to payroll. And again, like if the state comes in and requests records, we can go into our EMR, pull all those records. So everything is done from a charting standpoint on a Chromebook from our clinicians in the home, or some of them would have an iPad device or something like that. And then also, our most recent system change was to Paylocity, and really a big part of why we decided to move towards Paylocity. Our previous, I think a lot of people think of Paylocity as a payroll vendor. They are a payroll vendor, but it's a lot more than a payroll vendor. We utilize that for onboarding. We also utilize that for team communication, things like that. I'm trying to think of some other areas like learning management system, new hire training. If there's additional training requirements, we can have training through that platform as well. So really, we focus a lot on consolidating systems to where we're able to do a lot of this, even remote. I think that that was another big thing that we really excelled in during the COVID time period, where again, people were needing to come through orientation. We still had such a high demand for our services, but people didn't want to travel into an office environment if they could avoid it. And so we got set up pretty quickly to where we could do remote orientations, remote onboarding, and kind of just keep our organization moving along in that direction.
Makes sense. So obviously now in 2023 is the world of artificial intelligence, AI. So are you utilizing AI and artificial intelligence in your business?
So we do. Actually, I think that with ChatGPT came out earlier this year, I think that we were pretty early adapters to using that. I think that, again, different people utilize it in different ways. I would say this, I probably use it on a daily basis for communication purposes. I think different people in our organization will use it for different resources and things like that. We did have everyone on our leadership team go through a very basic ChatGPT training course just to make sure people are keeping up with technology, understanding technology. I do think that gives us a leg up. Again, I think with the amount of communication that we have, because we're in the people business, I think that just different ideas and thoughts as to how to communicate, that's huge. And a lot of times something that might take an hour to sit there and try to figure out how to phrase it in a way that we feel like it should be phrased. I mean, ChatGPT can do that in 2 minutes and give us thoughts and ideas and all that. And I do think with even some of the reporting, I know that I'm not as advanced of a user as some of our other users are with it, but I know that there's additional plugins that you can use with emails, with reports, things like that. And so we've used it with some of that as well.
Awesome. So do you see like any other use cases, maybe even for customer communication, families or just people who are interested in working for you, communicating with AI, with chatbots, for example?
So we've thought about this in a number of different ways. One, looking at more ways that we could be more efficient with recruiting, because there's so many different communication people that we communicate with. And I'm trying to remember hard numbers. I can't remember the exact numbers of people that we've communicated with in the last quarter. But I mean, hundreds of people that we're communicating with on a quarterly basis to try to employ them within our organization. And sometimes there is a level of fall off with communication. And so trying to look at ways where there might be more automated communication and where we have, again, certain touch points throughout the process that might be automated. The other component of it is, and again, I don't know what technology is fully developed. I know that there's a lot of different AI apps out there. And some of these are actually, I had just looked earlier this week and someone had listed 8, I think it was an Instagram post, 8 artificial intelligence apps that you need to know about. And I screenshotted them. And my goal is to go back and look at each one of those and see if those are things that we can incorporate into our business and use in our business. Obviously, like with scheduling, things like that, I think that if there was components of scheduling where there's open shifts and there was automatic communication about open shifts, trying to fill shifts, I think that would be very helpful. To some extent, we have some of that sorted out, but it's probably not fully developed. And so we actually met with someone just a few weeks ago, looking into some of these different ways that we can really incorporate a little bit more AI, particularly with regards to communication and helping fill some of those gaps in with recruiting and with scheduling.
Makes sense. So in terms of recruiting, how do you make sure that the people that are working with, obviously that you want to fill, these openings, but obviously at the same time, you want to have folks that are, highly qualified and have a good personality. I mean, this is your business. So how do you kind of balance those two things?
And I think that's something that we've made sure to our team. That's the most important aspect of our business is people. And so we never want to lose that personal touch. Like in this industry, AI is never really going to replace people. I think that what AI can do is AI can help people. And I think that AI can assist in providing a higher level of service. But I think that really the initial communication, building those relationships, connecting with people on a real level, that part of it is never going to go away. And that's really where our success comes from, is those personal connections. So trying to make sure that our team understands that part of it, while at the same time understands that utilizing technology to enhance or supplement communication can be helpful, or to help us in identifying gaps in certain things and ways that we can do better with our communication. That's where we really want to hone down and utilize that. But as far as the day-to-day communication, I think a lot of that is going to remain the same. And really, even with our management team, we're big on one-on-ones with our team, building those relationships, having that open communication. That's just a huge part of what we do and where success comes from.
Awesome. So what are some of the challenges? Obviously, as you mentioned earlier, it's a very highly regulated industry. And, you know, you have some challenges in terms of, you know, staffing. But like, what are some of the biggest challenges in general, you know, with what you're doing today and even starting this business?
So I think starting out, there is different challenges than we face today. I think starting out, it was more so trying to figure out just how to get our name out there. And then another big challenge was building a good team. I think a lot of organizations can't get past that threshold to build a good team. And we've really done a great job with that. We've been fortunate to pull in some people that have really been able to take us next level. And I think right now, the challenges that we have are, I mean, I think the biggest one is the reimbursement rates. And I think that those are things that we've pushed on from a state level and have had, I would say, minimal success with that. I think that there's ongoing initiatives that we're working on with that. But really with, I mean, the cost of living, how much that's increased, everyone's wanting to make more and needing to make more. And so if we haven't had a substantial increase in over 10 years in our industry, that puts us at a disadvantage. And so those are some things that we're working through on our end. And then also just trying to figure out, like, okay, on the back end, like, are there things that we can work on from a systems and process standpoint that make us more efficient? We never want to lose our quality. We never want to lose that personal touch. And can we be more efficient without losing some of what is really our core values and the culture that we've created? So those are some of the challenges that we face and try to tackle day in and day out.
Makes sense. What would you say is the biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
That's a good question. I would say in my mind, just very transparent, I had never managed a team of people before. I worked at a large law firm. In a law firm environment, you're working, I guess, with smaller teams, but there's really a lack of organizational structure with how that works. And I think that jumping in, there was just very little that I knew about managing teams. I think really I've grown a lot in that area. I've listened to a lot of podcasts. I've read a lot of books. I've learned from a lot of people that we've brought in. And I think that I've focused on bringing in leaders that are stronger than me in certain areas. And I think that that's really helped me a lot. But I do think, again, when we started this business, I was trying to think how old I was, 27, 28 years old. Without a ton of experience. And I think that being very idealistic and optimistic, I thought, man, we're going to be able to just, I mean, hit the ground running. This thing's going to just really take off. And it has taken off. I mean, we've been fortunate. The last 3 years, we've been named one of the fastest growing companies by Inc. magazine. And but a lot of that's been a lot of hard work, a lot of trial and error. And there's been a lot of growth that's had to take place individually with myself and our team to be better leaders, to take us to that level.
So what have you learned specifically? Do you mind sharing just a couple tips in terms of leadership? Like, what makes you a good leader in your company?
I think there's a few things. I think one of the things that I've learned is, and I'll kind of start with some very basic things. One was you have to have vision. And in conjunction with vision, though, you have to have organization. And I think that with the right vision and the right organization, the next step is the right people. Because if you don't have any one of those three components, you're really not going to be able to move your organization forward. And so I think a lot of people have vision, but they can't execute on that vision, either because of the lack of organization or the lack of having the right team members. And so those are some things that I think are huge for success. Trying to think of some other ones. I think the other things that I think about is training leaders is very difficult and can be a challenge sometimes for people, founders, to be able to pass off a certain level of responsibility and let their team run with that. But in order to get to the next level, you have to be able to trust the people that you have in place. Sometimes that has not worked out, and those are hard times. And we've had to really work through those hard times to find the right people. And I think that right now we've got a fantastic team in place and just fortunate to be able to have these people in place, but really just allowing them to run in their lanes and do their thing and help them grow in their capacity to lead other leaders as well is a big part of it.
Awesome. So in terms of, you know, like the bigger vision, obviously you've expanded, as you mentioned, across Texas, but is the goal to expand nationwide, even globally? What is the bigger vision for the company?
So bigger vision is to expand across the country. We have looked at a number of different states. I think one of the things that makes it very difficult is each state is regulated individually. And so you have to have a separate license, you have to have a separate Medicaid certification, you have to have separate insurance contracts. So there is a lot that goes into that. We've looked at really growth from an acquisition standpoint, and I'd actually gone down that road just in the past couple months and decided ultimately that opportunity wasn't one that we would move forward with successfully. So we backed out of that deal. We've kind of re-engaged our growth strategy, and I feel pretty confident that within the next year or so, we'll have ourselves established and set up to be able to grow in some new states, some new locations. And really, I think we're grateful to be in Texas. Texas is such a big state where there's a lot of population centers, a lot of good pediatric hospitals, and that has really attracted a lot of families with medically fragile kids and kids that need our services, whether it's private duty nursing, speech therapy, occupational therapy, or physical therapy.
So I just wanted to ask, you know, just I guess like we'll ask, you know, a couple questions. So if we're going to have this conversation again 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for the business?
So we generally like to set annual goals and then break those goals down into quarterly goals. And with our quarterly goals, then we break those down even further to action items. And I think that's what I'm talking about with the organization. That level of organization, all of our leadership team works off of quarterly goals that are broken down into individual tasks that are on a spreadsheet. And we can track from quarter to quarter what's completed, what's not completed. And so this November, we're going to have our annual meeting that we have where we kind of establish some company level goals. And then each leader of each individual office or each individual department will set out their goals. And so a year from now, I mean, I would expect that we're in a couple new locations within Texas. I also expect that we'll be either ready to jump into at least two or three new states if we haven't already done that. And just trying to keep that growth and momentum moving forward. I think that the services that we provide, I feel just very confident in what we do and how we do it. And I want to be able to help as many people as we can. And I think that our team is motivated and energized by growth. And we just want to see that momentum continue.
That's awesome. So somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you. Do you mind sharing your website or just best way to get in contact?
I'm sure. Our website is actually under revision. So our old website will go away within the next month or so, and we'll have a new website up. But it is connectpediatrics.com. And then if you wanted to reach out to me individually, you can reach out to me at my email address is my first name dot last name at connectpediatrics.com. I'll spell it out since both my first and last name are somewhat difficult. So my first name is Ezra. It's spelled E-Z-R-A. And then the last name, so it's Ezra.Kunze. The last name is spelled K-U-E-N as in Nancy, Z as in zebra, I, and that's at connectpediatrics.com. So yeah, if anyone has any questions or would like to reach out to us related to really anything, I'd love to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, Ezra, this was awesome. Thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you guys keep growing in the next year and even more so.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ezra.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. All right. Bye.
Take care. Bye.